And I'm Rick McInnes, Ray in Canada, and you're listening to the podcast version of Dispatches on the radio service of the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. Now, in Ireland, they love their history, but not as much as a nice new highway, apparently. For a while, the only thing standing between Dubliners and four lanes of blacktop was one of the country's most revered, most mystical sites. Then, despite a clamor from poets and pop stars alike, work crews began breaking ground and breaking hearts. The bulldozers are cutting into a grassy hill known as Tara, where Irish kings once came to find their calling. Dispatches contributor Hadani Ditmars was there last year to hear the poet's cries and Tara's curse.
On Tara's hill the daylight dies, on Tara's plain 'tis dead.
In ancient times, all roads led to Tara. It was the Axis Mundi of old Ireland, the center of the Celtic world. Once the seat of the High Kings of Ireland, it was always a symbolic place for rallying the nation, from King Brian Boru through to Irish nationalist Daniel O'Connell.
For there in prayer is Patrick Bent.
Ask Sabina Higgins, actress, activist, and wife of Labour Party President Michael D. Higgins, about the Hill of Tara, and she readily recites a famous Irish poem by Thomas Moore.
This fire will light the Irish shore and lead its people on. We'll lead them on through many a night through which they're doomed to go, like that which led the Israelites from bondage and from woe.
What does it mean to you as an Irish woman to think that the Hill of Tara might in some way be endangered?
This is our heritage. We take pride in it. Whether it's true or not, it gives us the impression that we were something, that we stood for something, we had greatness and we cared. These are our people. This is us.
Now the sacred hill and World Heritage Site is under threat because of roads.
We're now driving up what is the N3, which is the national route from Dublin to Cavan.
Archaeologist Joe Fenwick has been working on the Hill of Tara for over a decade.
This is part of the motorway that will go through Tara. And not only is it a motorway, but it's also a four-laned tolled motorway. So for people to use this motorway, they'll have to pay a toll not once, but twice.
So it's going to be a bit of a cash cow.
Oh, absolutely.
As we drive into Tara, we're greeted by an old Irish pastoral scene about as far away from the Celtic tiger as you can get.
And you can see here, literally immediately above us there, is a bullock sitting in the field, literally on the Hill of Tara.
And also a statue of a saint, maybe?
Yeah, that's St. Patrick.
Oh, that's St. Patrick.
Yes, yes.
God bless him.
As I walk past the cows and the statue of St. Patrick, I come to a church, now the visitor's centre. Joan Reddington takes me on a tour.
Well, beside me here we have the Stone of Destiny, said to be the inauguration stone of the kings. The legend is that whatever man wanted to become king of Tara, he had to seek the approval of the deities. He had to lay his foot upon the stone, and if it were his destiny to be king, the stone would scream out, it would roar out.
But you're not allowed to put your foot on it now, are you?
No, we'd prefer not. But
from this spot on a clear day, you can see much of Ireland. The mountains of Mourne to the north, across the central plain to Connemara in the west, and the Dublin Wicklow Mountains to the south.
You can see 17 counties from over there. And I'm feeling very down because some of my family fought here in 1798 rebellion. I have a connection here with the hill. We're buried here on the hill. And the early warning system, we're the keepers of the early warning system, my mother's family.
What is the early warning system?
It was a fire. In 8 minutes, they could send a message all over Ireland with fire.
J.P. Fay and his friends have been occupying a trailer at the foot of the Hill of Tara for almost a year of daily protests.
I come here a couple of times a week. I spend a night down in the valley regularly. My heart is broken. I still tell you this. It's breaking my heart.
The group came up with a proposal for an alternate route that would leave Tara undisturbed. They had high hopes their plan would be adopted when Green Party member John Gormley was elected last spring and became the new Minister of the Environment. Gormley had campaigned on a promise of saving Tara, but once elected, he said his hands were tied.
But the things will happen in this valley if it goes ahead. The curse of Tara. You interfere with Tara and they will. It'll come back. There was an archaeologist here that dug a body up at one stage and you found dead in bed the next morning. But it has its own way. Tara has its own way.
Tara is a rich mine of stories. Many legends describe it as the meeting point of the two worlds, the spiritual and the physical.
It is. I mean, I've described it before as being the heart and soul of Ireland, and if there were no archaeology here, Tara would still be important.
Muireann Ní Brolacóin is a senior lecturer in Celtic studies at the National University of Maynooth. She's collected a petition signed by 300 international scholars objecting to the current M3 route, and she's been arrested for peaceful protest at Tara.
I suppose in some ironic way it's nearly fitting that the greatest battle for Irish heritage is being fought in this area where so many conflicts have taken place that I suppose, as I say, it's nearly appropriate that it would be the scene of this dreadful conflict between two worlds again.
It's the new Ireland and the old Ireland, isn't it?
Perhaps. I think it's more the Ireland of heritage and people who care and the Ireland of money and those who see nothing except profit and money.
Many of the key developers of the new M3 are staunch financial backers of ruling party Fianna Fáil and stand to make millions on the road and its surrounding infrastructure. But protesters and locals speak of mysterious foreign companies with links to the new M3. I ask Muireann about the allegations of foreigners profiting from the M3.
Well, I'd like to lay the blame firmly and squarely on Irish people.
Okay.
It was the Irish government and Irish ministers. Indeed, it was the local TD for this area when he was Minister for the Environment who pushed this road ahead. He's now the Minister for Transport. But to clear up the mention of foreigners, yes, in fact, the biggest contractors on this are, in fact, from Spain. Mm. They're called Ferrovial. But there's also an Irish company. Mm. And the general name for the company is Eurolink. Mm. And yes, there will be two toll booths, and yes, that money will be leaving the country.
I drive with Muireann and Joe about 3 kilometres away to the edge of the forest that leads to the recently declared national monument of Lismullen Henge. En route, we trek into another protesters' camp.
So is it usually this muddy here?
Well, not usually, but you can work your way around it if you like.
We find a group of mainly Irish young people seated around a fire. Draven from Cork and Lisa from Belfast tell us why they're here.
It's just blatantly wrong what they're doing here. The actual M3 motorway is longer than the existing road. It's going through so many archaeological sites. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense whatsoever. It's just wrong. I'm here because I just feel I should be here.
A lot of the monuments around this area that are being destroyed are some of the oldest in the world. Mm-hmm. That just wouldn't happen in another country. You would not see the disrespect from another country's government happening anywhere else. You know, they're not ploughing a motorway through the Valley of the Kings in Egypt or right through the middle of the pyramids at Giza, yet some of these monuments here are older and they're being destroyed on a daily basis. They're being bulldozed over.
What's that, Brent?
I walk with Joe to the clearing where we can see bulldozers and security guards to our left and Lismullen Henge to our right. It's surrounded by heaps of earth and covered in plastic tarps.
So, Joe, what are we looking at here in archaeological terms?
Well, in archaeological terms, you're looking at a disaster. No less than just 20 metres from the motorway corridor is the ramparts of Rá Lú. This fortification, one of the outer fortifications guarding the Hill of Tara, which, as you can see, is just over there. Mm-hmm. And the intervisibility.
I drive with Muireann and Joe to have a drink at a pub on the nearby Hill of Screen, the sister hill to Tara, where ancient kings were once banished and the relics of Christian saints entombed. The two hills will be neatly bisected by the new M3. We speak with some locals having a pint.
I'd personally be very pro-road, and it has to be done. The important site in the valley is the Hill of Tara, and it's not being broken into at all. The road that we have at the moment, the new motorway, is actually going to be further away from the hill than the existing N3, the national road. So
we're waiting for that road to be built.
I mean, you'd never be able to build anywhere in Ireland if you had to save every site that was around. Like, you know, you can't get in and out of Dublin at the moment from this area at all.
So you don't believe in the curse of Tara then?
No, not at all, no.
I asked Joe what he thinks about the locals' arguments for the new motorway in the name of progress.
I don't think anyone is standing in the way of progress. We all want to see Ireland progress, and we want to become a modern and efficient economic powerhouse. Yeah. What we'd like to have too is our cultural heritage preserved. And it's not only our cultural heritage, it's the cultural heritage of Europe.
As we head back to Dublin, Joe tells me he's still pinning his hopes on intervention by the European Union. But ultimately, even he agrees that it may be too late and too costly to reverse the series of decisions that have led to the current crisis around Lismullen.
So I'm sure a line will be drawn somewhere around the Hill of Tara saying no further. But at that stage, it will be too late. You know, they've done significant damage to the integrity of Tara, to its landscape and to its context. And there's no excuse for having done that at all.
So politicians rethink, step back from the brink and listen to the dawn.
On the road to Dublin, this is Hadani Ditmars for Dispatches.
So we'll sit here through the nights and we will fight for what is true. High above that money-mad mile under the Tara sky, so.
And since we aired that story last year, work crews have uncovered dozens of new archaeological finds, including a monument in the middle of one of the proposed highway lanes. And as the global recession descends on Ireland now too, critics are lobbying to cut the pricey budget back and turn the road into a less intrusive heritage highway. That's our podcast for this week. Thank you for listening. You can download it every Monday from the web, where we also keep all our past programs, cbc.ca/dispatches. You can also hear us on the National Radio Network of the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. We're on Radio 1 Monday night at 7:30, with an encore Sunday evening following the World This Weekend. This program is the work of producers Donna Cressman, Naheed Mustafa, and Steve McNally, with technical producer Tim Lorimer and Linda Perry in New York. Senior producer Alan Gattell, and myself. I'm Rick McInnes-Ray. You have just heard Dispatches. We'll bring you the world.
For more on all of our CBC podcasts, head to cbc.ca/podcasting.